in Kuprinem jaz nazaj. Pa te samo ostane, imam tiste dolge hodnike, ne. Tam dol so vrata, pa treba, ne. In jaz prijem tam, pa prem vrata, pa meniš. Pa tam dol zagledam, zagledam Madonna eno šo.
Riz.
Je bil pa lep, mlad, mlad in tudi siv, siv, ne ta nemški očalnik. Črn pa to ne, prav tista prava volk, ne, krasen.
Radijske zgodbe o ljudih, ki ustvarjajo duh časa, na Radiu Študent.
Sredi 90-ih let 20. stoletja je zajel Berlin, Pariz, London, Barcelono, Göteborg, Brusel, Los Angeles in druge svetovne metropole val zasedb zapuščenih stavb. Umetniki, arhitekti, znanstveniki in aktivisti so se zavedali, da prebivalci v stanovanjskih četrtih modernih človeških mravlišč preživljajo urbane travme. Prišli so do številnih ugotovitev, med njimi tudi do sklepa, da so te posledica fordističnega načina proizvodnje, ki se je preselil iz tovarn v njihove domove.
Tej brezdušnosti so se uprli na ustvarjalen način. V Bruslju je bilo še posebej živahno. Kmalu po drugi svetovni vojni so se v bodoče središče hrama evrodemokracije že udobno ugnezdile multinacionalke. Nikogar ni zanimalo, kaj bo prinesel urbanistični razvoj po volji gospodarstva.
Prejšnji četrtek in petek, 9. in 10. septembra 2010. je knjižnica Infoshop v Metelkovem mestu gostila aktiviste in aktivistke več skupini zgibanja za pridobitev javnih prostorov v svetovnih mestih. Gostje so bile članice in člani evropske nevladne organizacije City Mind in predstavniki drugih skupin. City Mind so bili tudi med sponzori proslave letošnjega 17. rojstnega dne Metelkove mesta. Predstavnik Jim Seegers je za Radio Študent pojasnil razmere, ki so spodbudile nastanek pobude City Mind v Bruslju leta 1997.
City Mind started in 1997 when Brussels was as a city was under threat, as a city of residence was a bit under threat. People were fleeing the city center and the choice was being made to make the historic center of Brussels either a living city or a resident an office city, a business city, where hotels would replace what's now housing. So in that context, we combined two things. On the one hand, we wanted to set up political actions that made people aware of this and put it in the public consciousness. The second thing we wanted to do is give a stage, a podium to up-and-coming artists who wanted to develop work outside the established structures of cultural centers and things, but said we want cultural production that happens very close to the people who come to look at it, the users, the visitors. We combined those two in something we then called urban interventions. And for us, an urban intervention was something that was quite short in time, from a few hours to 10 days. And that brought together very different actors. And that was always very positive. We weren't anti anything. We confronted, we did things that weren't considered always legal, but we did it in a way that wasn't confrontational to police or everything. So if we wanted to make clear that a building was empty, we would enter it, but without posing too much difficulties.
Aktivisti so še naprej delovali na terenu in v nekaj letih so prišli do novih spoznanj. Največkrat se ta navezujejo na neprijetnosti, ki jih prinaša ljudem kapitalistično gospodarstvo, predvsem s poglabljanjem revščine v razvitih evropskih metropolah.
We started microeconomics in 2006 with the from the simple finding that cities are enormously paradoxical. They bring together the rich and the poor in very close proximity. So we decided to look into it a bit more close, both in Brussels and in London. And we came to very interesting findings, like Brussels at that time was the third richest region in Europe, after the city of London, and a region in Germany. It was the third richest region in Europe, in terms of GDP. Yet one in four person in Brussels, one in four families actually, that was the quote, can't afford going to the doctor, so they postpone healthcare because they can't afford it. So there's rich and poor. Same time in London, calling itself the financial center of the world at times, and also having a very rich region with the city of London. One in two children in that city live in poverty. Poverty as defined by the World Health Organization, so not some left-leaning think tank, but an obvious force, as one in two are considered poor. So we said this is so extreme that we maybe should think of doing projects that put this in a more positive perspective. That was actually the impetus, the reason to start doing it. And then we thought, okay, talking about the economy, but how to see economy, and that's when we had workshops and came up with our own definition. And for us at that time, economy was all the strategies people have to increase their wealth, their health, or their happiness. Everything people organize, even if they don't bring money in, we considered it economy. So that was a new perspective on things. And then we came across the question that what is the smallest building block of the economy? What makes the economy take over constantly? And the first examples would be big factories that are running, and the indicators the normal economic analysis would use. And we said, well, that's maybe not insufficient. Maybe there are things that escape this analysis, that escape this describing in formulas, but that are crucial to the economy continuing to run. And that brought us to the idea of independent skills, the skills people have, or the desire to do things.
Mikroekonomike ne gre zamenjevati z mikroekonomijo. Mikroekonomika poudarja človekovo željo po ustvarjanju, poudarja Jim Seegers. To lahko v resnici uresničimo, če se izognemo slepemu sledenju načelom gospodarske uspešnosti, produktivnosti, učinkovitosti, profitu in rasti, zasledimo na spletni strani City Mind. Zavedati se moramo, da je treba zadovoljevati stvarne, ne neresnične, umišljene, umetne kapitalistične potrebe. Gospodarstva majhnega obsega imajo lahko svetlo prihodnost. Sophie van Bruistegem, City Mind, Brussel.
We decided to set up a market where people could swap their services or sell their self-made products that they made on a small scale, mm-hmm. being in a legal artistic status. Mm-hmm. And so that didn't exist in Belgium. And so mm-hmm. we did it first very small scale mm-hmm. as a plug-in to a very big market at the south neighborhood in Brussels. Mm-hmm. And then it started to grow and people were interested, and now it's really an independent project, a cooperative having a market space, and it's a running market, and it really tries to give people the opportunity to test out things they like to do and make directly with the public by doing every week a market. So that, I think, was with a one step in real economy, a tryout. And then on the other hand, we had the Waffle Bank, which actually is a performance, and it's, we play bank really, and it looks really nice and shiny, and we have actors playing the banker, and we bake waffles. And so people get attracted by the sense of the waffles, and they want to have one, want to buy one, and then they can't buy one. But they can get one in return of a skill they have. And so you could really put you could go to a banker to have a whole discussion about what is your skill, and that's basically a very hard discussion to have. It's a hard question to answer, and but it was good to, for me, the core of this project was to have these discussions with people who were thinking they were participating in a performance about, okay, I'm good at this and I like doing this, and actually I could do it more.
Great.
And voilà, to have this mind, this whole mindset of take ownership of what you do. You know?
Gospodarjanje na majhnem obsegu je lahko na primer gojenje vrtičkov v urbanih središčih. Vrtovi so pomembni za boljše psihično počutje prebivalcev, a do njih je čedalje teže priti. Zelene površine si prilašča predvsem ekonomska sfera, velika podjetja, korporacije. Ker je zdajšnja urbanistična politika oblasti naklonjena predvsem kapitalu, si jih morajo ljudje znova priboriti.
Aktivistka organizacije Ideen Workstadt, Frauke Hel, o spodbujanju državljanov k zasedništvu privatiziranih javnih površin v Berlinu.
We are focused on participating processes in the city, so in the last 10-12 years, as we are active, we focused a lot on urban gardening, so community gardens in the city, which is full of a variety of items, like people have a social cohesion, people can grow up their own food, this impacts all the food aspects, where does my food come from, unemployment, unemployed people, for example, find social networks, find something to do, in the same time they can do some self-organization also for their food, but also for other exchange levels, for example. But we're also, so this is one item, the urban gardening in itself, and we're building up a network at the moment in Berlin in between all the urban, the community garden activities that we have, and which is a quite big variety in Berlin. And we are also focused on urban development processes. So, for example, old industrial areas by now used as social cultural areas, like here the Metelkova, similar to this. So we try to support people to be active in processes like this. So whenever the workstation is, as to understand, as a platform that gives support to people who want to take back or take action in the public space, or just use the public space. So we are connected to a lot of initiatives, like, for example, there's a artist group called Unwetter, and they make discursive picnics, so they invite people for a picnic in a public space, which is usually not a space for picnics, of course, so they invite people to very inconvenient picnic places, like the Berlin Alexanderplatz, where it is not allowed at all to have a picnic on the street, but as an artist action, it's possible to make it like this.
Zvok, ki ga slišite, priča o zagnanosti gostov iz organizacije City Mind in predvsem o tem, kaj je lahko stvarna ekonomija. Jim Seegers.
We're making bags. Yeah, we're recycling old umbrellas, broken umbrellas, and we want to use bags to show people what small projects can do with recycling stuff. So I'm doing the first phase now, that is taking the broken umbrella apart. And then we staple them together to make bags. And then with broken car tires, we give them a lead to hang on to your shoulder.
Tudi izdelovanje torbic za splošno uporabo je del stvarne ekonomije. Intervencije CityMind in drugih gostujočih organizacij v urbana okolja evropskih velemest se razlikujejo. V Barceloni so se osredinile na industrijske predele. Tom de Force iz Barcelone.
We worked a lot on one neighborhood that's called Poblenou. Mm-hmm. Poblenou is a neighbor that is in transformation from like an old industrial place that they try to transform in more like a place for new industries, which are the new technologies and communication system or sector. And that transformation created a lot of clashes, a lot of social conflict in that neighborhood also, because they did move a lot of people from their houses, from their social places, from their public space, and actually with a big group of artists, of architects, of all type of technical people, we did projects on empty squares, that we tried to recover empty squares from houses that were teared down, and it were these empty squares actually that we made reliving with the needs and the desires from the local people. For instance, was one big of these empty squares that we transformed in a park, a park that we made with our bare hands. So actually, during 10, 11 months, 2 days a week, we worked with 50, 70 people from the neighborhood. 2 days a week, we worked on that place and we made a park without asking any authorizations or money or equipment to local authorities. So it's really from 0 to 10 an auto-constructed park, and the park now is recognized, and it's recognized as a park because before they wanted to build other houses, apartments on it. So we could achieve that the park will stay a park.
Kako protislovno? V Barceloni so ljudje politično bolj dejavni kot v Bruslju, hramu veličastnih institucij Evropske unije.
In my experience here, people are active already in social, in a lot of groups, in a lot of neighborhood groups, for all kind of reasons, political reasons or more like creative reasons or just like meeting people who wants to meet people. So it was for us quite easy to step to these groups and to propose them, let's make a collective work on that empty square, that we can make something with our hands to show to the local authorities what we really want, that how our neighborhood exists. So it was not difficult at all to get the people on that park and that they show up every week, day after day. And I think it's a different way also to talk about civic participation. Because in Barcelona, these local groups, neighborhood groups, are very present in local politics. They have a very strong voice. Meanwhile, in Brussels, they nearly exist. They exist in an official way because of democratic sense. The politics create their spooky organizations. Mm-hmm. It's more like a name more than its sector. But in Barcelona, they are really active and they really want to involve themselves in local political items. And they really do it. If something that they really don't like in the transformation of their territory, they move themselves and they organize themselves. That's also why in Barcelona always had a lot of resistance groups and a lot of identities who participate or who are provoking some kind of small conflict against authorities or against all kind of decision making. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very interesting to see this kind of democratic participation, real participation of civilians, of citizens.
Tudi javni prostori v Londonu niso več tisto, kar so bili nekoč, obžaluje aktivistka Nelly Alfandri.
Public space in London is a very fast thing. Mm-hmm. That you usually just pass through, that is often either very modernly refurbished or very run down and decayed. You don't have many spaces where you just sit down and you are with people. You run through in some places, you sit down to have a quick lunch and you run further. Mm-hmm. You know, there's not many places where you actually can congregate and be as a community. So I think that what all these projects that we interviewed have in common is that they've formed these spaces, mm-hmm. where people can come and exchange their knowledge and exchange their skills.
Example, which spaces in London, for example, you find that they are really somehow alienated, that they are not public anymore? Which
are? Oh, all of them. All of them. Mm-hmm. All of them. I mean, any public space in London is... You can make it, you can take it and make it your own, and we are trying that in different, or various groups are trying that in different, with different means, with creative means, with just by using it, but generally there are not many places which are actually being used by people. The parks, maybe. The parks are being used by people, but all the squares and streets and spaces, they're not really...
Romi so očitno povsod po Evropi diskriminirani in nezaželjeni, ugotavlja Sara Haberzak z Dunaja.
What is part of all these associations is that there's not one strategy, there's not one project. So you always have a mosaic of different activities. They're also included in another project where I'm working and where we cooperate with a school and with a community in Serbia to raise consciousness about Roma in Serbia and Roma in Austria. They write articles for the Institute of Paulo Freire. They organize political manifestations for Roma rights. Now on Saturday in Vienna, there was this Roma manifestation because of what happened in France, what Sarkozy did with expelling the Romas from France. So there are a lot of small bits and pieces, and I think this urban platform for them is a very important step because they can exchange their views and ideas, especially also in the political field. They see that there are other people struggling as well, and they get visibility. And that is something which is crucial about urban public space as well for them. Because it's not normal to even walk calmly through public space in many European countries for Roma. And that is something that is underestimated a lot. We're talking about cultural initiatives and project in public space and squatting and I don't know, taking a park. But for many of these people, and that's not only Roma people, that concerns a lot of asylum seekers and refugees in Austria and other countries, they don't even have the right to calmly access public space, to walk on the street, Mm-hmm. They're questioned, they're bullied by the police and things like that. So mm-hmm. just to step out on the street, to walk there, to be present, to participate in festivals, to participate in bigger events, that's a big step. You don't even have to already squat something. It's already mm-hmm. A big step for them to start using the city and feeling that they have the right to do it.
Privatizacija javnih prostorov za različne družbene skupine ni osrednji problem. Vzrok tiči v mehanizmu, ki poganja kapitalistično gospodarstvo. Jim Seegers.
What worries me and I think a lot of people is the primacy of the market. That the market is taken as a benchmark and that efficiency and turnover become the benchmarks of quality. I'm not sure they're the same thing. I think there's something missing in that story, and for me it's always, I've said it before, solidarity and democracy and environmental responsibility that are very difficult to translate into those market concepts. Because if you, solidarity ranges from sharing the little things we have up to solidarity between the North and the South. And we're not scoring terribly well in any of the three domains I just mentioned.
They're free enterprisers. The Earth is just another developing planet. They are thermals.
We are like a natural resource to them.
Srečanja aktivistov se je udeležil tudi zdravnik ambulante in posvetovalnice za ljudi brez zdravstvenega zavarovanja Aleksander Doplihar. V tej ambulanti se ne ukvarjajo samo s zdravstvenimi težavami revežev.
Socializacija ali pa delo v naši ambulanti, kot je rečeno, ni samo zdravstveno, ampak tudi predvsem možnost, da jim pridobimo razne dokumente, čemer se ukvarja naša socialna delovka. Gre namreč za, torej, naši komitenti so namreč ljudje, ki so socialno ogroženi, nimajo dohodkov, mnogi so nepismeni in si sami, torej tako funkcionalno kot tudi dejansko nepismeni, in si sami seveda jasno niti približno ne morejo torej iz tega torej zagotoviti potrebnih prošenj in tega tri postopkov za pridobivanje dokumentov in vsega ostalega. Veliko ljudi, ki prihajajo k nam, ima začetno, recimo, neko delovno dobo, ne? In ker so po dolgoletnem izbivanju z dela postali psihično in fizično nesposobni za upravljanje tega dela, in kot specialist medicine dela, torej pišem te predloge za invalidsko komisijo in na ta način potem pridobimo pravico do pokojnine, pravico do torej, dokumentov zdravstvenega zavarovanja in ostalo.
Na spletni strani City Mind najdemo tudi video. V njem je govor o ekonomiki potreb. Omenjeni koncept je po besedah Jima Seegersa večplasten.
Well, what the video was about, first of all, was it said that there are small projects like City Mind, like the info shop in Metelkova, different things that respond to a first need people have. And in the case of the info shop, for instance, people need books to read. But what's specific about our type of projects is that in addition to that, to meeting that specific need, they also have a social character. They bring people together, they make connections between people stronger. And that makes them extra. And that's why they're so important now. That's why you want to support them also internationally with a platform.
Thank you.
Ko človek opisuje tujcem, kaj se je in kaj se dogaja v Ljubljani in Sloveniji, je sam presenečen nad bogato ponudbo, je dejal Nikolaj Jeffs v imenu prireditelja srečanja Kut mreže z mednarodnimi aktivisti gibanja za ohranjanje in oživljanje javnih prostorov.
Ne gre samo za to, da imamo v Ljubljani velik in pomemben kulturni center, kot je Metelkova, ampak da recimo, da je samo 5 minut hoda stran, je recimo Rok. Potem se lahko vprašamo o recimo Radiu Študent, o zelo pomembnem mediju v evropskem merilu z večdesetletno tradicijo, tako rekoč. Ne? In potem se še pogledate umetniške skupine ali pa različne druge medije ali pa akterje na tej urbani sceni. Je to res zelo bogato in zelo raznoliko. In mogoče so te prilike, ko se navzven človek predstavlja, so tudi prilike, da se tudi zamisli, kako bi pa to sodelovanje navznotr tudi ukrepil, kako bi pa to pestrost in bogatstvost, različnost, ki jo pa vendarle družijo neki skupni momenti, skupne ideje, kako bi pa to lahko še ukrepil, da bi bila ta scena tako rekoč še močnejša, še bolj uspešna v doseganju nekih kulturnih, umetniških ali pa tudi političnih in družbenih ciljev.
Akcije gibanja za ohranjanje javnih prostorov nas spominjajo na pisanje profesorja ekonomije Josifa Kulišerja iz Kijeva o ograjevanju pašnikov, travnikov in neobdelane skupne zemlje v Tudorski Angliji v 15. in 16. stoletju.
Ta proces se nadaljuje v 21. stoletju z ograjevanjem javnih prostorov, ki mu pravimo privatizacija. Zato je gibanje za odpiranje javnih prostorov, ki ga finančno podpira Evropska unija, še toliko bolj pomembno. Javni prostori, zelenice, parki, mostovi, opuščene stavbe morajo ostati v lasti ljudi, njihovih resničnih potreb in ustvarjalnosti. Ne smemo dopustiti, da bi si jih uzurpiral kapital, sicer nas res čaka realnost filma Soylent Green.
They're making our food out of people. Next thing they'll be breeding us like cattle for food.
Oddaja o gibanju za ohranjanje javnih prostorov je pripravil Medard Kržišnik, brala sta Polona in Coma, tehniciral je Crusader Across the Fader.
Nazaj, pa te samo stani, imam tiste dolge hodnike, ne. Tam dol so vrata, pa tre vrata, ne. In jaz prijem tam, pa prema vrata, pa meniš. Pa tam dol zagledam Madonna enošo.
Riz.
Je bil pa lep, mlad in to je siv, ne ta nemški občaj, črni pa to ne, prav tista prava volk, krasen.
Radijske zgodbe o ljudih, ki ustvarjajo duh časa, na Radiu Študent.